dear ones. You're listening to the What God Is Not podcast with Father Michael O'Loughlin and Mother Natalia.
Hello, listeners. This is Father Michael. Today's episode is Mother Natalia's. We recorded this episode at the Sikh conference, but this was not the official recording. This was one we did the day before our official recording with Mother Natalia's old friend and my new friend, Kristen Molitor. So I don't know if that's how you pronounce her name. She's such new of a friend. I'd never heard her last name said, but Mother would know. So correct me if I'm wrong, Mother. In this episode, I learned a lot. Kristen is a pro at giving and receiving spiritual direction. She has a heart for those who are wounded, those who have suffered trauma. And she speaks very much into typical trauma responses and how spiritual direction and understanding how we respond to someone who's causing us trauma can impact a lot about how we live a joyful life and how to heal from that if we've not done that in the past. So enjoy this episode for yourselves and for those who may come to you with some trauma. I'm recording this introduction much later than we recorded this episode, so I have no idea how long we bantered for. So you're just going to listen to all of it this time. God bless you.
Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Christ was born.
Christ indeed was born. We glorified him then, we'll glorify him again. And we glorify him now.
Do you know what I just realized is that we said that we were going to do the banter and then we were going to bring Kristen in, but then I realized that my banter very much includes Kristen.
Oh, well, I'll just head off the mic.
Okay.
I will let you guys do your thing.
Okay. Well, I guess, no, you can stay. You can stay. You can
Father
stay.
Michael signing out.
Aw. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Mother.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you too.
So Father Michael and I are here at Sikh Conference in St. Louis, and Kristen is here with, who are you here with?
I'm here with the Institute for Ministry Formation from St. Vincent Seminary in Latrobe, Pennsylvania.
Woo-woo. People have heard me on this podcast talk a lot about St. Vincent's. Namely, they've heard me talk about Father Boniface because mm-hmm. I gush about him, as you know. And this is good that we're not recording at the table. Kristen, we were going to record at the table at Father Michael's idea because Father Michael is ADD. And he was like, this is a great idea. And Kristen was like, I don't think this is a good idea because there will be people with conversations that it will be hard for us to tune out. And I just got distracted by someone in the hall. So I'm really glad that we're not at a table.
That was a cowboy.
Okay. Yeah, that was a serious cowboy. I'm really sorry. Refocusing, Kristen, cowboy is my squirrel. So whenever I get distracted by a squirrel, his name is Cowboy.
His name is Cowboy.
Yes. Father Michael's cowboy. I mean, Father Michael's squirrel is Perla. But we're here at Sikh Conference 2024. And people have been asking me if this is my first Sikh conference. And I've been saying, well, it's my first time coming since it's been called Sikh. I told someone that today and they were like, oh, and because it has been called Sikh for a long time now, apparently. And basically they thought I was really old.
I had a nun because the last time you came, you weren't a nun yet, right?
Correct.
And so I had a nun who I went to college with. I ran into her yesterday and I ran up and gave her a hug and the person with us looked like kind of stunned, like, where do you know each other from? And she's like, we knew each other in college. He's seen my hair. I was like, that's such a beautiful way of saying we've known each other for a long time.
He's seen my hair.
I was telling people for a while that my first focus conference was 10 years ago when I was in college. And then after I told many people this, I realized it's been 14 years since I was here in college. And that feels like a really long time ago. How many conferences have you been to, Kristen?
This is my first Sikh conference.
Oh, and it's your first like focus conference in general?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. But so Kristen has, we've been laughing about this all week because Kristen, the Institute for Ministry Formation, has a booth here at Sikh. And Father Michael and I do not have a booth because we're just podcasters who didn't pay for a booth. And Beth is here with us, Beth from the media team. Do you want to shout out a hi, Beth?
Hi.
Maybe you heard that. And we like needed somewhere to put our stuff. It all started with, I needed somewhere to put my riyasa, my church clothes. So I was like, Father Boniface, can I leave my riyasa at your table? And he's like, yeah, of course. And then we dumped all of our stuff at your table. And then we've just been hanging out at your table all week. And today someone came up to me and she was talking to me, and then I started telling her about this book on this table behind me, and I'm like trying to sell one of the books for the Institute for Ministry Formation. And she says at one point, she's like, asks me a very particular question about the book. And then I just go, oh, well, I haven't actually read it. and she's like, you already sold me on it and you've not even read it. And I'm like, yeah.
Well, I know the author.
Yeah, exactly. The author is pretty great. So anyways, what's your experience been at Seek so far?
It's been awesome. There's like so many faithful people here. We've just had really great and meaningful conversations at the booth. I think people are just at conferences like these, open, vulnerable, receptive. So I just think that the connections with people is just that much deeper and greater and more meaningful. Mm. So it's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been, you know, the connections have been my favorite part for sure. You know, there's a lot of people who have come up to me who recognize me mostly from Pines with Aquinas because our podcast is audio only. And some people from the podcast, but a lot from Pines with Aquinas. And it's been really beautiful to just get to know like some of their heart and hear about their life. Cause I'm like, you know a lot about me. I know nothing about you. And, mm-hmm. and to get to know them is really beautiful. And you can see what it means to them as well. To have someone interested in their heart because they're like, we all have this thirst for connection.
Yeah.
Like when you just said connection, that's really what jumped out at me is, I think that's part of what's so powerful about conferences like this is people are getting connection, you know, like it's the talks for sure. And it's the, but I think it's actually more about the encounter, like to be with 20,000 Catholics and, I don't know. That encounter is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Father Michael, are you just going to do some light reading while Kristen and I are?
I one of our listeners to the podcast, JJ Dunn, handed me this. Have you met him? You know,
yeah.
Guy with the beard.
I met him at the monastery.
Did he give you this book?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know? Can we recommend it? I guess we can.
I haven't finished reading it.
Okay, he hasn't finished reading it.
I can't hear you.
So, so anyway, it's like a reflections on trauma and how the church heals that. So, yeah.
Can you say the name of it?
Sure. It's called Theosis and Tribulations by J.J. Dunn. I don't know if it's published. I think it's self-published. But anyway, you can probably Google it and find it.
It's poetry.
It's poetry that is healing poetry. He just chatted. I haven't read it. He just handed it to me about 15 minutes ago. So, yeah. But it's about one of those, you talked about vulnerability. People here are very vulnerable. It is true. I mean, there's something about the spirit being here that people just want to share their heart, want to show their heart. They trust the person they're talking to because we're all kind of here for the right reasons, et cetera. So yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah.
Well, I want to just jump into things so that I can, because we're going to keep this episode kind of short. So Kristen is wonderful. Kristen's really beautiful. We met first at a TOB course, the one that y'all have heard me talk about if you've listened to previous episodes, Theology of the Body and Spiritual Direction, which Father Boniface was the instructor for. And Kristen came out as part of the Institute for Ministry Formation and was just there to support him and also to share about the IMF with people. But there was one particular way in which you helped him during the course, and it's really stuck with me because it really resonated with me. And I haven't shared this with Father Michael, so this is his first time hearing it, which is fun. But Father Boniface was introducing this concept called the fawn response. Can you give an introduction to what the fawn response is?
Yeah. So when we experience trauma, our nervous system goes into like different spaces. We have a fight, flight, or I should say not trauma, excuse me, danger. So mm-hmm. when we experience danger, we go into fight mode.
Or perceived danger.
Danger, mm-hmm. right? Hopefully our nervous systems, like we're in line with reality where it is like actual danger. But we want to either like fight the threat. So we go to fight. And then there's also flight, run away from the threat. freeze, just kind of just shut down. And then there's another one that we've been talking about more or been hearing about more called the fawn response. Mm-hmm. So if I can't run away from my threat, if I can't fight my threat, if I befriend my threat, if I please my threat will like me, my threat will calm down, the anger in my threat will calm down. And so that's called the fawn trauma response. So it shows up in a lot in people pleasing, you know, so kind of like, oh, whatever you want, or it's okay. And so what happens in the fawn trauma response then in the people pleasing, it's a way that I leave my own heart. Mm. So instead of like an admission of how I feel in the moment or what's happening in the moment, I quickly just totally focus on you. What can I do to make you happy, to make you calm, to please you so that I get some sort of sense of security? Mm-hmm. So that's the fawn trauma response. Now, what can be complicated about the fawn trauma response is like in order to have authentic relationships, we need, as we've been talking about, vulnerability, like mm-hmm. to really show up as I am, like as an equal member, like intimacy really needs two healthy eyes. This is who I am. So, but if I'm just totally focused on you and I can't even access what's going on inside my heart, we're not going to have like a real vulnerable, intimate relationship. It'll be all about you and what you want and just to make you happy. So that's where the fawn trauma response, it can help in the moment when I'm in danger. But if I continue to live this way, maybe it was helpful if my dad had explosive anger and I just made him happy and then all the problems went away. If I carry that into my adult relationships, I'm not going to have intimate, meaningful, and vulnerable relationships. Mm-hmm. And so then what can happen in the church, sometimes the fawn response comes up in ways that are really sneaky. We call this spiritual bypassing or spiritual platitudes. So for example, let's say that I was really hurt by someone, like, and you say to me, well, how are you doing? That must have been really hurtful. I might say back to you, it's okay, like, I forgave. God told me, you know, God says we need to forgive. I need to forgive 77 times. And so you start to use spiritual platitudes to bypass, to shoot over the real pain that you really need to grieve in order to heal from mm-hmm. the offense. So that also comes in any way that we're bypassing any emotions. For example, like, I really feel afraid. Well, what's the response that we hear often, or I've heard it, the Bible says 365 times, Do not be afraid. You know, Jesus says, do not be afraid. And this is true. Mm-hmm. We have nothing to fear in Christ. And yet in the moment, I feel fear. Mm-hmm. So how can I be present to myself instead of what's called a self-abandonment? Like, I don't feel this way. It's fine. Because sometimes I do that because I fear your rejection of me. Mm-hmm. I just want to be fine. It's okay. In like a fawning, people-pleasing situation, if you feel like your parent or caregiver isn't going to receive your hurt or your anger, and they'll just say, you're fine, soldier on, or offer it up. Yeah. I mean, again, like, these are things that we really need to do. But in the moment of pain, if we're using that to shoot over our pain, we're going to miss really meaningful connections with one another.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that, so I have a couple things, one comment and then one question for you. The comment would be, I've also, ever since hearing this concept of spiritual bypassing, the course was the first time I had heard this concept. But then a few weeks after the course, I was looking through some prayer journals because I was trying to go back to the source or like where there's been a particular like destructive habit in my life, no pun intended. Because I wear a habit, because I'm a nun. Nobody laughed at my joke, so I'm just going to. Father Michael, you need to laugh on the outside. Yeah. I know I don't laugh at your jokes, but I'm a lot more sensitive than you, so you need to laugh at my jokes. So anyways, I've had this like, this destructive habit in my life over several years. And I was going back through some prayer journals to see where this first started. And in going back in my prayer journals, I found like the first time that I journaled about this particular thing happening in this particular relationship, I realized, so I had journaled something, this is my prayer journal, right? This is my prayer to the Lord. And it was like, this is the thing that happened. And then I said, the very next sentence was like, but Lord, I know that you're the one protecting me. And I know that you're the one. And like immediately, I'm saying all of the right things, quote unquote, right things in my prayer. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, spiritual bypassing is something I do to myself in my prayer. Yeah. Like it's not even just something that I do. And I think it's this, so it also comes from this way of thinking of how I ought to be. Like if I were just holier, or if I'm going to be a good nun, this needs to be the way that I think. It's not actually how I'm thinking. It's not actually what I'm feeling right now, but I'm going to tell myself it is. And I'm going to tell Jesus it's how I feel because it's what I'm supposed to feel. And because it's what the Bible says I'm supposed to feel. And because it's what I know people are going to want to hear in talks. And because it's, you know, all of these, do you know what I mean? Yeah, like it's not only in this, relationship with one another. Like we do it in our relationship with the Lord, as if we can trick him, right? Like, we can tell him, oh, this is what I'm, because maybe then we can convince ourselves that that's actually what we're thinking.
And I love that you say that, Mother, because that's been the purification of my own prayer as well with the Lord. I did not know that so much of my prayer journal or my dialogue with him was also spiritual bypassing. Like there was someone where I was really working through forgiveness. And then I could only say like, I couldn't even say I was hurt. I had to say, I need to forgive them. And I know they're broken. And I know they're wounded. And I know, and I know, and I know. So just this total self-abandonment of like, but what's on my turf? That's real ownership. I'm hurt. And that takes a lot of vulnerability to say. Like it's so easy to fixate on the external outside. Like forgiveness can sometimes be difficult because I don't want to face what's inside. But if I could just stay on the outside, like they're jerks, they were mean, what they did, who they are, I still keep abandoning what's happening on my turf. And then even what's even more vulnerable underneath to say I hurt, like I felt so afraid. I felt abandoned, or I felt betrayed, or I was neglected. And those are like the more vulnerable things to really acknowledge what's happening inside of our heart. And I was really realizing that like I couldn't do that in my relationships, but I also could not do that with the Lord. Like I could only pretend like it didn't bother me. And just so he knew, so like he would be pleased with me, that I would just say to him like, but don't even worry. Like I am totally trying to forgive this person, and I see that they're wounded, and I see that they're hurt. But yeah, so it's like this form of perfectionism that if I was just holier, I wouldn't be hurt. If I was just holier, I wouldn't be upset. If I was just holier, I wouldn't be irritated. Instead of using those emotions, emotion is to move. Like, so they're meant to move us towards some sort of resolution. And to be curious and to be with them to see what's actually happening in our interior.
And instead, we start to feel this shame, right? Of like, and that's part of why we won't express the things, because we're ashamed of the fact that we're feeling them, because this isn't how we're quote unquote supposed to feel. So then we're battling shame, and then we're just like, it's just this vicious cycle that we get caught in.
And I've had my own share of shame cycles, and I wasn't even aware of like my own internal dialogue. It just was happening so fast, so furiously, so automatically, you know, that I'm just doing this, oh, I shouldn't feel that way. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Oh, I shouldn't be like, oh, you know, like just this constant chatter of how I should or shouldn't be instead of really like just being in and where I am.
Yeah. Which God is a God of the present. And he's a God of reality. And that's the only place we can encounter him, which I think that's part of the danger is if we're doing this spiritual bypassing and we're trying to jump over reality and we're not acknowledging what's really there, then we're missing an encounter with him. Like he can only encounter us. We can only encounter him in reality. Yeah. We don't encounter him in the fictional, in the imaginary, in the, this is the place I should be. So I'm going to pretend I'm over there because I'm not really over there. And so he's not over there because he's with us because he wants relationship in the real place, not in this imaginary place.
So that's, so we abandon ourselves. So we're not even with our God is with us, but we're not with us. You know, we're trying to be somewhere else in some la-la land of being perfect and never being wounded. And so that's just been my story, because I have struggled a lot with the fawn response and with perfectionism. And I just wouldn't feel this way. If I was holier, I wouldn't feel this way. But I've been learning... So judgment is really what fuels shame, right? And so now we're saying that curiosity is really what opens us to the experience of the moment. So can I be curious about that? Well, I'm not, I'm trying this out. I'm not 100% great at being curious. I still have a lot of judger in my heart. But just noticing that oftentimes, like even in my own anger, which is an emotion I have felt tremendous guilt and shame over when I experience, you know, I realize like it's there for a reason. So you can like befriend your emotions. You can move towards it. And often I have found that almost every time I feel anger, even if it's a trigger, like it's over the top of what it should be, it's still telling me something. And often it's been like a boundary has been crossed. And that's been really empowering, because my old dialogue used to be like, why am I so angry? Why am I such a jerk? Why can't I just be nicer? Why can't, instead of saying, but it's there for a reason. And then, oh, when I'm in like a more stable place, when the crazy's over, I can maybe actually make a resolution towards greater freedom. So even, so for example, all these things are happening like, in you know, just neurologically, it's not something we can control. On the plane coming to St. Louis, this is kind of personal, but like I felt so irritated, like with the guy next door next to me. Like, so I'm like, why am I just like, I can't stand him. Like, I just can't stand him. And then I realized like he was like totally unaware. So his legs were like totally spread apart, like one touching me. And then he was like leaning over and like our shoulders were touching. And I'm like, oh, he's in my space. Where in the past, I would have judged that emotion and been like, Kristen, you don't know who this guy is. Why are you so angry with him? Why are you? And realizing like, oh, so boundary crossed, like he's in my space. And then like, I just can just move over a little bit and just be aware that that's happening inside of me. But that's why like moving inside instead of outside, to just see like your body is telling you something. If you become aware of it, all these things matter. And even if your responses are a little off the top or out of control, you can still move rationally with it at a later time.
So what does that look like when one of you were talking about writing in your journal? I think you were, and you were saying
people
kind of...
People can't see us. You need to not just point.
Sorry, Mother Natalia. You were saying like if you were writing in your journal and you were saying... If only I was holier, or you're the one that protects me, Lord. Kristen, what would that look like to write in a journal, or to take what you're saying and apply it in a conversation with God? Like how does the language or the mindset change when you're talking to God about the exact same instance or the same happening, but you're more reflecting upon what your acceptance that your emotions are good and helpful in that moment, rather than bypassing that to get to the spiritual?
Yeah, so it's always like a both and. So Lord, in the moments, even if it's like anger against him, like, so it's not, so it's a both and. Like, I felt really betrayed or even abandoned by you in the moment. But God, I know that you are faithful. So it's not just like a, so there's an honesty of how I feel and a declaration of the truth, right? So then like a steps, Lord, help me understand, because this is what I'm facing, or what this is what's real, instead of like, but God, I know you're so great and I know that you would never do that. And I know that. So it's a real acknowledgement of where I am. And then you can declare the truth and then just say like, but I want to get curious about this experience. Why did I feel so abandoned?
Yeah, because it can be so, it's an opportunity for revelation, and it's an opportunity for growth and for healing and for encounter and for all the things. You know, I was having a conversation one time with a directee who we had a similar conversation where, you know, she couldn't understand why the Lord was allowing a particular thing to happen in her life. And so, you know, she's sharing with me that she She's told me I could talk about this anonymously on the podcast, just so you guys know. She is telling me, I had this anger at God, but I know it's not okay to feel that. Mm. And so how do I stop, you know, like whatever. And I know it's not okay to say those things and so on and so forth. Yeah. And I was like, no, I think it's really, really good for you to say that to him. Because first of all, he knows that you're feeling it. So why not say it to him? But also that can be a beautiful place of healing to just say to him, I'm feeling angry about this. Like, where is that anger coming from? Yeah. Can you show me what's happening in my heart? Like to ask him to reveal, to help us see the source of it. And, because then it's like, and if we bypass that and just try to jump to the end, then we're missing this entire revelation about ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll never, that revelation of ourselves we'll miss, or we'll never encounter him there. Mm-hmm. I realize, like, so in my own walk with the Lord, like when I couldn't be vulnerable with him, like I couldn't experience him, right? Yeah. And so I had a hard time encountering like the Lord's love and mercy. You know, it stayed in my head, this idea, God is merciful, God is great, it's in my head. But at the heart level, I couldn't. And I realized it was because like I couldn't be compassionate towards myself and my own feelings, right? So if I feel disdain for what I'm feeling, then of course I'm going to project that onto God, that he thinks that, like, you know, Kristen, you just really need to be over this fear thing right now. Mm-hmm. You really need to, but he's not. And so compassion means a suffering with. Mm-hmm. And if I can't be with myself, then I actually can't be with you either. So it's not, so spiritual bypassing is dangerous in our own relationship and walk with the Lord. But it's dangerous then as a spiritual director or someone who accompanies or just in our own relationship, because then we can really damage people.
Yeah.
We throw that whole like, oh, you feel afraid? It's going to be fine. Or, you know, God says, don't be afraid. Or, oh, you don't feel forgiven? Like, don't worry, like the Lord's mercy has washed you free of your sin. And so then it just feels like you're not with me. Mm-hmm. You're not with me. I'm afraid. Be with me in the fear until I can get to a place of like trust and surrender, where I can get to a place where my walls come down. And so it's just like, just be with. And so the more that we bypass our own emotions, the more we're going to bypass other people's emotions. Mm-hmm. And like the best example of compassion would be Our Lady at the foot of the cross, right? Mm-hmm. Compassion. I'm with you, Jesus. I will not flee from you in your agony. Mm-hmm. I will stand with you. Mm-hmm. And she desires to be that for us. And so Jesus does as well. And I've often reflected on the Stations of the Cross of how Jesus lets himself be seen by Veronica, by Simon, and by his mother. Mm-hmm. So like this vulnerability of there's somebody with me in my suffering. Our Lady, I often say this, it's like kind of silly, but it's true. Like she wasn't yelling up at the cross like, don't worry, in 3 days, like the resurrection is coming for you, Jesus. So Christian hope acknowledges that things are hard, and yet it's not the end. Christian hope is not the same thing as toxic positivity or spiritual bypassing.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's really interesting because I just wrote down something I was convicted of. I think I'll mention the next podcast, but what does that look like for somebody who they may need that and then they sit in it and they feel the weight of the yoke of the cross on their shoulders and they acknowledge it and the results of these feelings and emotions and the reality of the pain and the trauma, it makes it to their heart and they can acknowledge it. But what if it just stays there? Like what if you, how do you go from that to hope? I imagine like Christ takes us there, of course he does, but is there some, how do you know when to start looking for something else? I've shared this story before, but I asked a priest wife one time when I was a vocations director, at what point when you're married first, and there's different models of this, but at what point when you're married to a man, do you start saying, now is a good time for you to start discerning priesthood?
And she said, basically, when you stop looking at each other and you start looking in the same direction and mission. Mm. And so I imagine there's a time like that when you find a certain confidence or rest in something that then you say, I now need to be convicted to take the steps that Christ is leading me on, but I need to acknowledge that and take those next steps. I guess, is it a tendency for people in that situation to sit in it too long and not move towards hope just because they haven't been there in a while or they've never been there? And so they're appreciating what that is, but they also need to be called on to, now Christ wants you to feel the redemption. He wants you to feel the resurrection. He wants you to feel all these things. And do we naturally get there? Do we spiritually get there through Christ's drawing? Or is there a need to be convicted to go ahead and take those next steps?
So that's a great question. I mean, I think like in trauma, like there, our bodies are made for like resolution. So like to be afraid, but then come down from the fear. And then usually like when a caregiver looks at us with love and kind of explains what happens, like our body can face resolution. Trauma is like when we haven't been resolved, like when it's stuck, when we haven't had that, like something bad happened, I acknowledge it in my body and now I'm at a place of peace. So we're designed to kind of go through that. And if you even think of like a good cry, like think about like, so there's one protector that's saying inside of me, like, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, right? And then you release it. And then like, what do you want to do? You sleep, you rest, you feel resolved. So I think that there's two places, what we can call protector. Did you ever talk about internal family systems?
Not. I think Father Boniface and I maybe did a little. Did we, Beth? Did we? No. I don't remember if Father Boniface and I did.
Well, so internal family systems, we acknowledge that inside of us, there are different parts. You know, we even speak about like, there's a part of me that's angry. There's a part of me that's happy to be here. There's a part of me that feels really tired. Parts, mm-hmm. parts, parts. Inside of us, we all have what's called like protectors that keep us from feeling pain. And so they can be called managers, so like perfectionism or people pleasing, staying busy, overworking, trying to keep everything perfect so that like nothing falls. Mm-hmm. But then the firefighters come on board when something did happen. And that's when like I erupted in anger or mm-hmm. I, you know, like that like impulse to fight or say something hurtful. Okay. So this is getting back to your question, Father Michael. I think that there are protectors that keep us from going into our grief, and there are protectors that keep us from leaving mm-hmm. our grief. Mm-hmm. What is that protector trying to protect? So I can even say in my own walk in grief with my mom, who died suddenly, I bypassed a lot of my grief. Like, we're fine. We made it through. Look at us. But there was also part of my grief where I'm like, what will happen if I really surrender this? Like I was realizing that there were parts of the story that I'm holding on to that I haven't fully surrendered, like a protector. Does it just go away? If I stop crying about it, does her memory just leave? Mm. Does it just? And so like that's also, so the other side of it, like if I there's a reason I'm trying to stay stuck in it. It's protecting something. And when somebody can help me get to what it's protecting, and hope, like a real belief, something new will come on the other side, but that often takes a lot of trust and accompaniment.
Yeah. I think it's an invitation to you know, perfect love casts out fear, and to realize that in those places of fear, we need to be able to receive perfect love. And that's part of the encountering God in those realities. Because, you know, we're talking about these responses, the fight, flight, freeze, or fawn responses that come when we're in danger or when we perceive danger, right? So I think it's a very fruitful thing to really reflect on when we notice ourselves in these responses, whichever response it is, to reflect on, what am I afraid of right now? Mm. Like, why am I kicking into this response? Where is the fear? Where is the place that I need the love? And again, that can become the place of encounter with the Lord, of like, Lord, I'm really afraid of rejection. And where is this fear of rejection coming from? And to get back to that wound, sorry, I don't know where this is coming from. to get back to that wound, and have that place of intimacy with the Lord, or with, you know, if this is happening, this response is happening in a relationship that you know intellectually is safe, and you have the experience of knowing that it's safe. You know, I've been in this relationship for years, you know, like Father Michael, to use a very like practical example, like Father Michael and I have to have these conversations where, I'm like scared to tell him something, and we have to talk through why I'm afraid to tell him this thing, you know, because I'm like, you've always received it when I've brought this to you before, so why am I afraid? And then we can open that up and we can figure out like, what's the thing that's hurting inside of me? What's the place that needs the love to cast out the fear? Yeah, I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking like, I don't know if this is just something I've been pondering, so I'm not saying it as a statement, but it just seems like all fear is rooted in a fear of being unloved. Mm-hmm. And so I was even walking through something with a friend of mine. You know, I was struggling with something, and she's like, take me through the steps with my anxiety. So if this happens, and then this, you know, we're kind of going through the steps, getting to the root of me being vulnerable. I'm like, but then they'll look at me this way, and then they'll do this. And if I say that, and she's like, and then what? Just, I guess, this roundabout way of saying we're just continuing to go to the worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. And when I finally got to the end of it, it was like, then I'll be a burden. Mm. And I was like, so you mean all of this conflict, all of this like internal distress was coming to a place where I was feeling unloved or was afraid of being unloved, afraid of not being received. And I just wonder if like all of our trauma responses really are ways to keep us from feeling the pain of disconnection. Mm-hmm. As we just opened up the podcast speaking about connection.
Yeah.
We are made for holy communion, to be loved.
Yeah. So I think that's like, I think that's part of the answer to what you're asking, Father Michael, is I think if we can focus on finding that place that needs healed and working on that place that needs healed, then the rest follows. Like it's not about fixing the problem and getting out of the space. It's like, I'm stuck in this space because there's this place that needs healed. And to kind of draw out of that, does that make sense?
It does. My brain is already gone. Say it again, what you just said, Mother?
That I think that if we can focus on what's the space that needs healed, that if that healing can come, then we can work our way out of the whatever the place is that we're stuck in. Like, because we're stuck there for a reason, because there's something there that's afraid. There's something that's afraid to move forward.
I forget what I was going to say, but it was about the being drawn to order and being drawn to the good. Mm. And so there's something in us, like with evangelization, it really did change my mind and my heart and my confidence in evangelization when somebody reminded me somehow that every heart I encounter was made by God and is oriented towards Him. And that is His telos. Like the end of that person is God. Mm. So they're going to, even if they reject everything that the scriptures say or everything that God says to them, like there's still something deep in there that is going to respond in a way. And once they and I get rid of all the gunk that's keeping us from that, there's still in our creation, we came from God and we will return to Him. And that's a very real reality that we can have great confidence. If we say to a room of a million people, you know, we preach truth and beauty and goodness and God loves you, you know, they say zero people, they all reject that and walk out. But there's something going to be sitting in their heart that they're going to say that they were drawn to that preaching when we preach the word. The woman, Mallory Smythe, I ran into her afterwards after we went to her beautiful talk. And
shout out to Mallory
and I ran into her in the booths and she was saying that she was a little bit afraid before she gave the talk that she was going to lose the students when she started talking about the story of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And I said to her, just, you know,
from my heart, I said, honestly, that was when my mind came alive, because you were actually preaching the word of God, like in an explicit way. So never be worried that even if you look like you're losing people, when you're preaching the word of God, it's always going to be good and true and beautiful in a way that draws people to it. And we can have great confidence if we're doing that, you know, which is a very beautiful and a good thing.
Yeah. I do want to touch on one more thing before we wrap up, because I know we need to wrap up in 5 or 10 minutes, but someone just wheeled some alcohol into this room and it is catching my eye. The thing that I wanted to mention that I was thinking about during that spiritual direction course, Kristen, and I'm wondering if you can relate to this or if you've seen this because you're a spiritual director, if you can relate to this at all. So as we're going through the different responses, fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, it's not even for me just, oh, yep, I'm a fawner, or yep, I'm a fighter. I'm kind of like, I do all the things at different points in my life. And I think I'm sure we've talked about this on the podcast before, but Father Michael and I, I've even experienced these in my relationship with Father Michael. I remember for a long time in our relationship, when there would be any sort of conflict, I would just shut down. Do you remember this, Father Michael? Father Michael's nodding. Okay. Like completely shut down. And by that, I mean, I wouldn't speak. I remember one time I picked Father Michael up from the airport and we're having spiritual direction on the way to his rectory. And in the first 5 minutes of the drive, he says something and I'm just like, you don't know me. And I just stop talking. And I'm obviously a talker. and so we drive the next 30, 40 minutes in silence. The only break of the silence is every once in a while, Father Michael was like, will you just talk to me? I can't help you if you won't talk to me. I am literally just nothing, just no response. And so, and then maybe a year later, we're in some other thing where I feel, I don't know, whatever, I'm afraid. And I just start yelling at him. and afterwards I was like, I'm really sorry that I yelled at you. And he was just like, I'm so glad. I'm so glad you were yelling at me. Because when you're yelling at me, you're communicating something. You're engaged, you know. Mm-hmm. And but I'm like reflecting on those. I've totally done the freeze. I've totally done the fight. I don't so much do flight. I've been doing a lot of fleeing the last couple of days. Just running to hide from people. But fawn. I'm absolutely a fawner, you know, where I'm just trying to, anyways, do you experience this as well, where you can at different points have the different responses?
Yeah. And this is where I wish I would brush up on my trauma facts a little bit more, because there is a progression actually, where you start with one and then freeze is the last, and fawn is actually the last, where it's just if I can't do any of these things. But sometimes it just happens so quickly that it seems like I only fawn.
Yeah.
But that these things have already gone through our nervous system to get to the fawn response.
That's really interesting.
But as far as I flee, I realized a flight response would also be obsessive thoughts.
I was wrong. Also have flight.
I mean, or overworking or perfectionism. Mm-hmm. And so I moved to Latrobe, Pennsylvania to work for the Institute for Ministry Formation in the last year, 2023, mm-hmm. January. So it's been one full year. But in a time where I've been more vulnerable, because I'm out of my element and totally new community, totally new job, I've been realizing this tendency to flee in ways I've never felt before. So more OCD thoughts, mm-hmm. more compulsion, I just want to get my car and go shopping. More and those are all flight responses, overworking, perfectionism, and why do I want to flee the moment? Mm-hmm. What's the perceived threat in the moment? So I certainly have all the trauma responses have shown up for me, but this year I've really experienced the flight.
Wow. Yeah. No, I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah. It's all of the ways that I even try to distract myself. And we can, this can be very tricky because we can distract ourselves. We can flee from the things with like our ministry.
Yeah.
Or with, you know, like, I'm really in a lot of pain in this relationship right now. And so I'm just going to go be totally present to this other person and feel received from them and feel seen by them. And really, I'm just fleeing from the fact that I'm not feeling that in this other relationship. Yeah. That's really fascinating.
Yeah. So I think like...
Okay, I can check all the boxes.
Yeah, just to kind of... to sum up all the content, it's like when we are detaching from ourselves and from reality. You know, because some people, after that spiritual direction course that you were at, Mother... Someone asked me like, but what if that actually is somebody's experience? So they said like, no, God's got a plan. Like he's in this, like say you're experiencing a loss of a job or a loss of a, you know, something that you have to grieve. They're like, but what if that actually is their experience? How do you tell if they're fawning or if like they actually are grounded and present and like are moving towards hope? And I just said like, watch for the detachment, you know? So typically like your voice will go higher, like, no, it's all fine. It's good. It's like, you know, like chirpy one word answers, fine. Feelings inside not expressed versus like hope. This is hard. I'm in it and God is in it too. Mm-hmm. Instead of like a detached detachment from like my difficult experience.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, there's a difference between like I'll have directees who will bring to me like a really painful and difficult situation that it's like been over the past couple of weeks and they've maybe resolved it by this point and they're sharing the, but like they share the process that they've gone through to get to this point at which the Lord spoke into it, you know, at like a lot of these podcast episodes, even, you know, I'm sharing, like really painful things that have happened in my own life or whatever, along with the resolution. But like you can still see the process. It's not just like a jumping to the end or a, yeah, but I think that's really true, is to like look for that detachment or that dissociation. Or that's a really...
Disconnection.
Disconnection.
Yeah, that's the word I guess I was looking for.
Yeah, that's a good one. So, all right. I think our very good Beth, who is just my... Everyone needs a Beth. Father Boniface and I were talking about this morning. Everyone needs a Beth. So Beth is signaling to me that we need to wrap up because she's right, because they're coming in to set up for the next talk that's in this room that we just hijacked. But any final thoughts, Kristen or Father Michael, on anything?
I just want to say that I've realized in this trip that Beth is absolutely a caretaker. Like, she's like a mom. She carries medication in her purse because she knew that I'm not feeling well. And she like hands you a Kleenex when you start crying and things like that. That's not a sign I've seen you before, you, Beth. So thank you for being a caretaker. That was my Perla for the podcast.
She totally is. On our walk over here this morning, she's like, do you want to wear my gloves? Do you want to like, she's such a caretaker. But Kristen, if people want to find out more about the Institute for Ministry Formation, this episode is coming out in a couple of weeks, so they can't come see our booth at the Seed Conference. But how can they find out more about it? Father Boniface also probably talked about it on our episode, but whatever.
Yeah. I'm like anxious. I'm like, what is our website? I think it's like imf.st.
Do you have a card?
Oh my gosh. I forgot my business card. I don't know any of our information, but I think it's imf.stvincentseminary.edu.
Okay. We'll link to it in our feed. Show notes. I'm like, I don't know what that thing's called. Yeah. Beth will link to it in our show notes. So
awesome. That's for those great of us who have like no memory to bring things like that.
Great. Okay. Well, thanks for coming on, Kristen.
This was a joy. This is so fun to be with the two of you and with Beth, and I'm really grateful.
Kristen is just, she's just a woman after my own heart. Like we're very much
we're very similar.
Yeah, we are.
Do you still feel like you're VSP or do you own HSP?
I still feel like I'm VSP. Father Michael has no idea what this means. We're going to have to, so I want to have
you.
Should
we uncode now or?
No. We can. So HSP means highly sensitive person. Uh-huh. And it's a thing, like it's actually a thing. Father Michael's pointing at me.
So I am totally HSP.
Yeah.
Very highly sensitive. And then mother and I connected because like our interior is so similar.
It's so similar.
It's like high antennas up, like noticing our environment, feeling our environment, you know, to like totally anxious. But like mother hasn't quite owned HSP, so she came up with VSP.
She's like, I'm very highly sensitive.
I think I'm very sensitive. So that's our connection.
I don't think I'm worthy of owning HSP.
Why?
Is the truth of it. We're going to have to do a whole episode about this because we need to explain what HSP is to people because it's not something that we came up with. It's actually like a scientific, I think they're scoping out how to set up the room now. So we really do have to go, but I want to have Kristen back on to talk about HSP and VSP. I did make up, but HSP is not made up. And it's really fascinating. So also that's an excuse for me to have more time with Kristen, but
yay.
Okay. I'm going to do our spiel very quickly because we got to go. But if this episode or any episode is helpful to you, please do share it. That's the best way to spread the things. And we are on Instagram, Facebook, Goodreads, YouTube, audio only. And you can, what's it called? X. Father Michael is on X at Padre Michael O. And those are all the things. Okay. Rate, review, only if it's nice. Otherwise, you'll make me cry because I'm a VSP. And prayer intentions. Sorry, I'm so distracted right now. Okay, prayer intentions. Please pray for the repose of the soul of someone named Isaac who... we met some relatives of his here at Seek, and it was a really beautiful encounter. And he is the one that just came on my heart. So please pray for the repose of his soul. Father Michael?
Please pray for the health of Victoria, who is a friend of someone who came to visit us here. And she's down in Mexico, and her friend asked for us to pray for her. So Victoria, please.
Please pray for the participants and for the retreat team on the upcoming Grief to Grace retreat at the end of January.
Amen. All right. Good to be with you guys. Love you both. Father Michael, can you give us a blessing?
Love you guys too. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, have mercy on you. May he bless those who are cleaning up this room that you can hear behind us. May he bless those of us gathered here and all those who minister to. May he bless those who minister to us. May he allow us to be honest and sincere and vulnerable. May he allow us to always be learners and to be able to grow and to desire that, to receive that, to grow towards acknowledgement of who we truly are in our heart, and then also to draw us further out of that towards him and his heart, as he always does. May the Lord give you everything you need, even the salvation of your soul. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.